Trey Thomas joins us on Sports Byline USA. You certainly know that name, offensive tackle. He was drafted with the 11th overall pick in the 98 draft by the Philadelphia Eagles out of Florida State University, and went on to play 11 seasons for the Eagles. But his name caught my attention when I was watching NBC Nightly News, and I saw a story on Trey giving something back to the community in Camden, New Jersey. Trey, this story got an awful lot of attention nationally. What was the reaction that you've gotten since its run?
You know what? It's been a lot of good positive feedback. You know what we've been seeing just with these kids and just how they've been developing and how you could just see like the improvements that they've been making just during the time that we've been training with them. And that's what it's been all about, is just trying to get these guys something positive to look forward to. You know, it takes them away from their reality, brings them out here to Medford, New Jersey, you know, bring them into a totally different environment. And then we just put them through probably one of the toughest workouts they've ever been through.
You certainly know that area well, having played football there. But Camden, New Jersey may be strange to a lot of our listeners around the world. Describe Camden, New Jersey to everybody.
It's a very dangerous place, you know. Very, very dangerous place. I mean, I used to, you know, George Hagerman, you know, was one of the guys that kind of brought me on, brought me in when I first came into the league back in 98. And he was from Camden, New Jersey. And I used to go to Camden all the time to go get my hair cut and just, you know, go to different little restaurants or whatever. And I remember one time that I was out there at the barbershop, and one of the guys was standing out there on the corner. He told me, "Hey, man, listen, I'm going to give you a friendly warning. You need to stop coming through here, because guys around here are starting to see you coming through with all your cars and stuff, and they really don't like it, so I think somebody's going to try to set you up." And after that, I kind of stopped going through there, you know, because, I mean, I'm not going to go against the warning. But after that, you know, we just started seeing all the stuff that was going on there, and with this facility opening up, we wanted to go into an area that would really appreciate what we're doing and really need it. Because it's bigger than just a workout. What we're trying to show them is that, you know, when things get tough in life, that if you continue to work, if you continue to push, that you can make it better instead of just giving in to it.
And tell everybody what Camden High School is like.
Camden High School is a it looks like an inner city, you know, high school. Like the weight room has pretty much nothing in it. I mean, it's torn up, worn down. It's nothing where these kids really feel like, you know what, I can't wait to go and work out in. And I don't think people understand what working out really. I mean, I know people do, but when you work out, you have a different air about yourself. You know, your self-confidence is better. You feel a lot better about yourself. So, you know, that weight room that they have there, it's just ran down. You have to walk through metal detectors to go through the place. There are police officers walking all throughout the school. So it's an area that, you know, the high school looks like it's in a high crime area.
And for those people, of the 322 schools statewide in the state of New Jersey, Camden High is ranked number 322nd, the lowest ranked public high school in the state of New Jersey. When you thought about doing this and decided to get into it, what kind of objectives did Trey Thomas have?
I didn't have any of as far as what all I want to do.
Yeah.
All I want to do is come and give these kids 8 weeks of my off-season workout. That's all I was trying to do, and just go in and just take these kids and take them under our wing and just, you know, give them some workouts, mentor them. One of the things that we want to do is start talking to them about college prep, and then I always give them time to just, you know, have a little Q&A, because sometimes you may have a question that you just never had a chance to, or the opportunity to sit around someone like myself and ask. So, you know, a lot of times at the end of the workouts, we sit around and just talk, and, you know, and just have a little time. You know, also one of the things that we do is that we're giving them the workout for free, but in return, they have to give volunteer hours. So one of the things is we went into Camden over the past weekend, and we did a Habitat for Humanity. So some of the kids showed up and helped us with the house build and stuff. So we're going to be doing other things in the community in Camden where we're going to require the players that's coming to our program to give back also, because we're good with the McDonald's house right there in Camden, and we're redeveloping a park there. So we're going to be really rooted in that area.
As you know, Trey, kids can be rather cynical, and I know in talking to Grant Hill, my friend in the NBA, one time, I asked him, I said, "What do you think kids see when they see a pro athlete today? He said, well, they know what we're making. He said, they see the car we're driving, the jewelry that we might have on. And he said, they're very cynical about us. We're going to come in, take something from them, and then leave. What type of reaction did you get from the kids?
You know what? I think that the kids really was extremely appreciative. Well, you know what? I think at first that they were like, okay, here's another guy coming in that wants to just do it just for the media publicity. But then after they saw that, okay, this is for real, and this is not just a one-shot deal, that this is really going to be a full 8-week program, and he's in here day in, day out with us, that, you know, I think they started respecting what was going on. They started working hard. Now, the first week was it was a little trying. You know, I told the coach that I'm going to show you who your leaders are, who your quitters are, and I'm going to show you who the guys you can go to war with. And within that first week, you know, you get everybody all emotional. We had probably about 5 or 6 of them quit. But, you know, after that, they started coming back and they started getting stronger and they started believing in themselves. They started encouraging the other teammates. So, you know, you started seeing what we're doing is really working.
Did you get any resistance from anybody, Trey?
No resistance. Because I think those kids were just excited to be able to come and do something like this. You know, and then as far as even with the community, you know, the community welcomed it with open arms. You know, they were just good. Somebody is going to come in here and give these kids something to do. We had absolutely no resistance at all. You know, even with the kids, I mean, the kids came in and they're a great group of kids, a really great group of kids. I really enjoy working with these kids. But we had no resistance at all, and it just got tough for a couple of them.
I think you know as well as I do, Trey, as you and I got older and we'd look back and see kids that we were once their age, and we'd shake our heads.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, as you compare what you were like at 16, 17, and 18 and in high school, and now think about the kids that you're working with, what do you see as the difference in kids who are also athletes?
You know what? It just seems to me it's just a different era. You know, what I see sometimes is that some kids just don't have that same grit like we used to have when I was younger. You know, it just seems like it's just a little different. You know, you can even see it in some of the professional athletes that come in that are a lot younger than you, where you just see a little, it's just a difference where they really don't have that same drive and work ethic that you had to have to get into it. You know, but from what I'm seeing at that age right now is that these kids, and now this is a tough environment that these kids are coming up in, so I knew that these kids were mentally tough, but it was just getting them to flip that switch and, understand what's going on and let's put in some work.
One of the things that I've always said, Trey, is the fact that I lament that a lot of kids do go the wrong path because they lose hope. And as you kind of take a look at some of these kids coming from a difficult environment, being in a high school that's lowly rated, everything against them, do you see that same thing as well? And do you think maybe you're rekindling a little bit of hope in these kids?
I think that's really what we're doing, is that we're giving them a lot of hope. We're giving them something where they can take this and also apply this into something else. Because a lot of these kids may not even know that, hey, I may even have interest in becoming a physical fitness trainer. You know, so this is an avenue where if you applied yourself with the school, you got your proper certification, you could turn this into a job, because we also offer with them not only the free workouts, but if they want to come in and just do some internships so they can kind of learn what we do and how we flow in this type of facility, then I'll allow them to come in and shadow what we're doing and, you know, whatever we can to help them. And then also this is getting them prepared for going to the next level. I know I wasn't trained like this until I got to college. So we're pushing them as hard as we possibly can so that when they get ready to go to the next level, they're going to be on such a greater plane than anybody else.
What's the biggest surprise that you've seen for Trey Thomas?
The biggest surprise for myself? I think I'm getting better as a trainer. I'm just getting a little better as a trainer. I think when I first opened, I just tried to break everybody. But now it's like, you know, I'm trying to, you know when to be hard and when to kind of ease up and start reading how people are, how, you know, what their body is doing, you know, their breathing patterns, and just being more into what's going on.
Trey, before I kick you loose, I want to change gears here for just a second. And there's been a lot of stories, certainly about concussions, but also the concern over athletes when they retire from professional football, particularly maybe linemen who then balloon up in their weight and everything, and maybe don't have the discipline that they had when they were playing. Now, you're a guy that is really into training. You opened up 7 Deuce Sports. And also located in Medford, New Jersey, I might point out for everybody. Yeah. Tell me, how did you approach your post-career life?
Oh, man, I just dove right into this. I probably was like a lot of other athletes that was kind of like, okay, you're about to retire. What are we going to do now? But, right when I was getting ready to retire, I started forming 7 Deuce Sports. I knew that I wanted to get into something where I could do at least technique training. My idea behind before I started this, before what I'm doing now, was that I just wanted to do something where I could come in and work with some offensive linemen, do some technique training, and try to help that learning curve from going from high school to college or even from college to the pros. But it just evolved now to where I'm in here actually training people. We're working with the 9 to 12 year olds, and then I also have to etch out time for myself where I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I try to get here by at least 4:30, 4:45, get my workout in for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then turn around and train my first client at 5:45. So, it keeps me busy, it keeps me going, and I think that's the main thing is that once you retire, you have to have something that interests you and that will keep you going, because if not, if you're just sitting around the house, all you're going to do is sit around and eat and do whatever else.
I had Bobby Bowden on with me recently on Sports Byline. He was your coach, certainly, at Florida State University, a guy that coached at Florida State for 34 years of his 57 years as a football coach. And the thing that I'm always amazed, and I said this to Bobby when I was talking to him, I said, somebody who does something as long as you did, usually the flame, the passion kind of wears out. What has been able to keep you going? And he said, just the love of sports and being able to work with the young men that I did. Turn it around for just a second. As a player that played for him, that was coached by his staff, tell me a little bit about Bobby Bowden from the player's perspective.
Man, just was an awesome coach. It was, he was just like having another dad. He really, really cared about what you were doing. You could always walk in his office, sit down and talk to him. If you got in trouble, he would punish you, and then he would come and tell you, hey, I love you. But he was just a really, really genuine good guy, worked us hard, expected greatness out of us. I think going to Florida State definitely made me what I am today. I mean, they just gave me an incredible work ethic. Actually, I fashioned some of our workouts from what we did during our off-season work training, which was mat drills at Florida State. If people don't, anybody that went to Florida State, that played at Florida State, knows exactly what I'm talking about when I say mat drills. It's the worst conditioning that I've ever been through ever in my football career. Mat drills was the type of thing where it either you made it or you got broke. And if they did break you, they would build you up. But a lot of the guys that didn't make it out, they just never made it through that build-up phase. But mat drills is one of the hardest things that I've ever been through. So when I do my workouts here at my facility, I'm thinking about mat drills, about the times where I was up at 5:30 in the morning at Florida State digging.
We only have 30 seconds left, but one of the great sports rivalries is in the state of Florida, between Florida, Florida State, the University of Miami. Give me your perspective on them.
Oh, we're going to whoop everybody. We're back. I think we're going to get everybody. I hope we can smash everybody. It's going to be a good season.
But that is a good rivalry, is it not, in the state of Florida? I think that state has the best rivalry between those three schools.
It is. It is. It's always been a lot of great games, a lot of great battles. I can remember playing at Florida when it was so loud that your pads were rattling, everybody's doing the chomp, and, just a lot of big – now, they did get us 1 year. I can't even remember the year. I think it was 96, 97, where we beat them in the regular season, and then we had to go back and play them in the Sugar Bowl for the national championship, and then they won the national championship. I don't think that was right. They shouldn't have played us for that. But anyway, you know, have to let that go.
Thanks a lot, Trey, and congratulations on the good work you're doing in Camden, New Jersey with those kids. It's commendable. All right. Thanks, Trey.
All right, thank you.
Trey Thomas with us again, working with those kids in Camden, New Jersey, giving something back to community, and he was drafted as the 11th overall pick in the 98 draft by the Philadelphia Eagles, went on to play for them for 11 seasons. We've got you on America's Sports Talk Show.